Good morning, church. How y'all doing? If this is your first time with us, it is great to have you. For everyone, it matters that you are here. It is so good on this snowy day to see all of your faces. Anyone trying to stay warm? All right. Anyone in a t-shirt? Just raise your hand. Be honest. All right. Still living it. Still rocking it. Amazing. I have a long sleeve on and I wish I had a coat on still. We are in the middle of a pretty historic series as a church because as a church, we seek to be a vibrant, reproducing church who lives out the greatest commandment and the Great Commission. And we want to love God, love others, and make disciples of Jesus. And we want to see Christ alive in us and Christ alive in others. And to be disciples of Jesus who make disciples of Jesus. The Great Commission is why we do this. And this series is really going past that to getting into the how and the what. And we've described at New Life a disciple of Jesus as someone who embodies a lifestyle of worship, community, and mission. And what this series, The Path of a Disciple, is trying to get at is how do we live as disciples, embody these lifestyles, and live into the character of Christ, which is our aim. Loving one another and loving our neighbors and helping others encounter, experience, and embrace Jesus, which is awesome what we just heard there in that slice. Wasn't that awesome? Just to see some men who have gone on in their walks with Jesus and are still trying to leverage their life for Christ and even mobilize their families into that. Such a beautiful picture. The goal is always more of Jesus. More of Jesus in our own life and in the world. You see, that's why we have 2 Corinthians 5:15 as the anchor for the pathway. He died. Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. And today, we celebrate in Detroit another person, another life that came through this church who has gone on and is continuing to pursue Jesus. At New Life Detroit, we are raising up this morning Steve Batchelor as an elder of New Life Detroit. Yeah, you can give props to that. We planted that at the campus of Wayne State University in 2013, and we're recognizing Steve as an elder today, Steve Batchelor. And what's really important and significant about that, why we celebrate it, is because for a couple reasons. One, Steve is actually not on staff with the church, but he's being raised up. It is so awesome. He is a full-time engineer, and he serves the church faithfully. Isn't that amazing? And I think it's an awesome picture for us because we talked about how discipleship isn't just about leaders being developed. Like, we are moving towards discipleship as a whole. We all need to do that, and leadership is different. What is leadership in the church? It's you follow Jesus. That's the path. It doesn't matter if you're on staff or not. Following Jesus, leaning into Jesus, becoming like Jesus is how we grow as leaders. And where we're going as a church, we need men and women, leaders who live like Jesus in all areas of this church. And so we're excited, and we celebrate New Life Detroit. And we celebrate the work that God has done and will continue to do through the life of Steve Batchelor. And some of you who may know him, I would just encourage you, text him, email him, give him a phone call. Just encourage him about the work that God's done in his life and going on from there. And today, we are going to be continuing looking at in our own lives that Jesus died for all of us. And we want in our own life that we would, as we've received his new life, we would no longer live for ourselves. Instead, we'll live for Christ, who died and was raised for us. We're going to see how the pathway through worship and a couple more actions are going to lead us towards that today. But before we go any further, let me pray. Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for the beautiful snow, Lord, and what a beautiful picture that it just covers everything. And it's a reminder that you have made us white. Lord, our sins are covered over by you. That your righteousness is our gift, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you chose us. Lord, that we get to follow you and be a part of this journey. Lord, I pray that we would be inspired of what it looks like to know you, how we can grow in that, Lord, and how we can become more like you. And Lord, we thank you for Steve and his life. God, would you continue to sustain him, allow him to abide in you, allow your character to continue to be formed in that man's life, and use him to continue to advance your kingdom and your church in Detroit. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So the discipleship pathway, here's a friendly reminder. We have a mobile site. You can go there on your phone. You could navigate through the pathway, explore it a little bit. Our goal in this is to lay a foundation in the heart of everyone who calls New Life home, that we want you all to have a lifestyle worship community mission. And this is just a way for you to engage in that, explore with it throughout the time we have. And this is the pathway. If you missed the last 2 weeks, or even as a reminder, it's 3 lifestyles, 6 habits, and 12 ongoing actions. So each of those lifestyles, you'll see the next screen, has 2 habits associated with it and 2 actions for each habit. The point of that is, if we're doing these actions in our life regularly, it will form these habits, and those habits will actually lead to living the lifestyles, which means we're really moving and living as a disciple of Christ. And so today, we're going to be leaning into that second habit of worship. We are renewed by the Spirit through scripture and prayer. We're going to see that, how it plays out, and how can we do that in our own life as we go forward. So worship is living devoted. Last week, we said we remain in the gospel. And we saw how Jesus is the vine and that we are the branches. And then we said that the preeminent call of a disciple of Jesus is to, above all else, remain in Jesus as an act of worship. And we talked about those ongoing actions of confessing and repenting of sin and receiving God's grace. And we said, ask someone to share the truth of the gospel with you. And we're encouraging you in this whole series and going forward to find someone you can do this with. Doesn't mean you have to be present with each other all the time, but you can be talking this process through and learning together as we go through the pathway. Remember, it's that the how, the hearing of what the Lord is speaking to you, obeying, and then actually doing it with someone else. Witness, as Kyle talked about in week one. And so I hope some of you got a chance to do that this week. I personally got to do this in multiple ways, and it was super refreshing and encouraging just to remain in the gospel. It's what we do. We are the branches. He is the vine. This is the source, the headwaters of the entire pathway, the entire journey with Christ. Everything else flows from this space of you being connected and abiding with Christ as a child of God. And this second habit of, we are renewed by the Spirit through scripture and prayer. See, discipleship isn't just about following Jesus. It's about re-following him every single day. It's not a one-time decision. It's every day I get up. I fall down, I get up. I receive grace when I've missed the mark and I've sinned. I'm renewed daily, daily growing in the character of Christ, reflecting Jesus a little bit more clearly every day. Robert E. Weber, a leader and teacher in the area of worship, has this quote that I love. He says, so worship is the gospel in motion. It proclaims and enacts the victory of Christ over the powers of evil. The Holy Spirit delivers the saving and healing power of Jesus Christ, and we in turn extol and glorify God as we receive, present tense, the continuous gift of God's healing presence in worship. But the more we lean into him, he is leaning into us. He's giving us through the Holy Spirit what we need to live and follow him. And this is a reminder in the front end of this today, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your Holy Spirit, your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Who makes this happen? Say it louder, people. God makes this happen. He is the one that does this. He wants your whole life, spirit, soul, body, to be kept blameless. He is the one doing this in your life. We said last week that the promise of Philippians 1:6, that Paul said, I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue his work until finally finished on the day of Christ Jesus' return. And what's key about that is it's within you. He's doing his work within you. He's taking the initiative. He's the vine. You're the branch. He will produce fruit. It comes through the vine. It comes through his spirit into your life. And last week, we were talking a lot about during Jesus' last lecture, where he walked and he talked about the vineyard. And this was after the final meal, and he was teaching his disciples, kind of giving them the last words, his last teaching before that night he's going to be turned over and then crucified and laid to rest before he rises from the dead. And right before he got to the vine passage, he said this to the disciples, and this isn't the one on the screen, so hold off on that. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. I love that. That's another advocate. You ever catch the word another? Like I'm number one, Jesus, and I'm going to send you number two, the Holy Spirit. And this isn't rank order. It's just numbers of advocates. And by the way, the Father chose you. Probably number one. I don't know the numbers, but God is the advocate. Are you getting this?
He will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The Word cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. This is Jesus hanging out with his disciples, and he says this. He says, he is with you now, and later he will be in you. And I don't think they probably caught it in that moment. And he teaches a little more, and then he says this. Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. We will come and make our home with each of them. That is significant, because to the people of Israel, that was one of the main things that set them apart. They could hear God, but God lived in their midst. Like one of the first things he did when he called the people out of Egypt is he gave them the tabernacle. They spent a year building this thing. Most people are like, he came to Mount Sinai, and then they moved on. No, they sat for a year at Mount Sinai building the tabernacle, the place where God is going to dwell. And within that was the Holy of Holies. This is where the presence of God rests. And the people of Israel camped around it. And then years later, David has a dream. He's hanging out in his fine palace, and they're still worshiping at the tabernacle. And David's like, why is it that I have this palace and you live in a tent? We should build a temple. And he doesn't build it, but God says, go for it. And he collects all the materials, and then his son builds this massive temple. But even within that, there was a Holy of Holies, this inner place where this presence of God was to rest. And what's crazy is Jesus shows up, and then he starts saying, and hey, by the way, the Father and I, we're going to come and make our place with you. We'll make our home with each of them. He's literally saying, you are going to be the tabernacle. You are going to have the presence of God in your life. You hear that, and I don't think we get it. I think if we just sat there, like if we just sermon over, day done, let's sit for 20 minutes and reflect on that, and we listen for God, I think our lives would be changed this morning just by this truth. And he says, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I tell you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is, and this is just him clarifying in case you haven't caught it yet, he says, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So the Spirit, he's giving. He's saying, I'm about to leave. And when I do, the advocate is going to come. And we are going to abide with you. We are going to live with you. This is how this whole branch thing works. He's the vine. We are the branch. We're connected to him, and his Spirit is in us. We can receive and hear God talking to us. It is crazy if you really stop and think about it. You see, in worshiping Jesus, his disciple is transformed by the Holy Spirit, by knowing God, interacting with him, and obeying him. Which in Christianity, the beauty is he is a gift to us. When we accept what he has done and we receive what he has done, Jesus has done for us on the cross and how he defeated the grave, the Holy Spirit, who is God, comes into our life so that we know we are a child of God. We are connected to the Father. He makes his home with us. He's preparing a place for us, and we are connected with him. That should change how we view this world, how we interact with this world. As a child of God, I can hear and I am connected to the Lord. And this is really about sanctification as we lean into the Holy Spirit, which is just a big fancy word about becoming holy like God. Like we have his full righteousness in Christ when we accept, but we are continually being made righteous. We are continually growing in our character of Christ until the day of Jesus' return, or we go to be with him. We're being renewed by the Spirit all the time. Renewal is transformation of the spiritual life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this happens as we come to know God, walk with him, hear from him, and yield to the Holy Spirit. The good news is that God indwells us to show us we are his children. His Spirit enables us to be his children and to live like him. Without his Spirit, we have no chance. And in all of this, our purpose for living finds a home as the image of God in us comes to more and more full and healthy expression. In a very real sense, we reconnect with ourselves at a level far deeper than we could have imagined before the lines were reinstated. The ultimate good news of the gospel is that in finding and knowing God, we come to truly find and know ourselves. We're connecting the one who created us. His spirit is drawing out in us who we were meant to be, who he sees us as. It transforms our minds. And we get there by participating in the new life and drawing on the resources that God has given us. The resources, the spirit within, and the rooted in God community that we get to share with one another. And so this habit of being renewed by the spirit through scripture prayer really has two actions. We talk with God throughout the day is the first one. And this was Jesus's secret. If you go through all the gospels and you just look at his life, he pulled away alone with the Father all the time. He constantly pulled away to pray and talk to the Father. And this was just in solitude, but I have to imagine that he was talking to God all the time. I mean, yes, he's God, but he's talking to the Father. You know what I'm saying? So he's talking to the Father. The Spirit is in there with him, his presence, his power, connecting, helping, reveal. I mean, he did this all the time. He spends nights talking with God. Even before he picked his disciples, it says he prayed all night long. He talked with God, the Father, all night long to know, who should I select? He went for long walks on lakes, not beaches. He walked on a lake. He talked with God while walking on a lake. He talked to the Father in front of people saying, like multiple times you see him hold up bread or breaker and he says something in front and he's like, hey, Father, I'm saying this out loud so they hear me and get this, not because I need it. Like, do you know those stories? Like, he did it for us. He's like, hey, I'm just going to expose you to what I do all the time. I talk to the Father. He was on a mountaintop and he was transfigured. And he hung out with Moses and Elijah. And Peter and John got to see it. Like, what? I pray. I've prayed on top of mountains. That didn't happen to me. He has an awesome connection. And then even in the final night of his life in the garden, he prayed and angels came and ministered to him. You see throughout scripture all these amazing stories of things that happened with Jesus and his disciples through prayer. It is something otherworldly because we are talking to God. Do you recognize it? People have asked me, like, where did my prayer life come alive or where did it really grow or become strong? And honestly, it started when I was a child. All you parents, pray with your kids. Teach them about prayer. You who don't have families yet, you want to have kids someday, teach them about prayer. Talk with God all the time. I saw my parents pray. I saw answers to prayer. But one of the most like foundational pieces was I lived on this dead-end street. It was like a half mile long. I would go to a friend's at the end. And in winter, you know, it's like dark at like 4. And I would have to bike home for dinner. And I was terrified, not of the dark, but of what lurks in the dark and what could happen. And I tell you, those were foundational prayer times. I'm pedaling home or I'm walking home. I am talking to God the whole way. And you can laugh about it, but as a kid, it was cementing. I walk in the door, thank you, Lord. Like it was true thankfulness. I made it home. And as a kid, that has an effect. Like he hears me. He answers. He's with me. And when you begin to see that and change it, even as I got older in high school, I was still wrestling with like the party and wanting to follow Christ. And there was one place I was like, you know what? If I'm supposed to use my gifts, my skills, football was my thing. I loved it. I poured into football. So I was just like, all right, I'm going to start taking a knee every time I score a touchdown. The first time I did that season, I scored 2 touchdowns. I was like, well, maybe I should give that up. But I was like, no, I committed. I'm gonna give God glory in this moment where I just take a knee and give a quick prayer. My senior year, I scored the most touchdowns in the league. Not because I took a knee, but it was just a cool moment of connecting with God. And the funny thing is, even then when I was like weak in my faith and you know wrestling through this whole thing, I was still arrogant and cocky. And there was one game, I scored so many touchdowns. I line up on kickoff. I'm right by the other team's line. And their coach came all the way down right behind me. And he said, 22, God doesn't care if you score. And I just looked and I said, look at the scoreboard. There was just a fun moment. But it was talking to God throughout the day. And it's so simple. You know what the key in this is? It's having the faith and believing that the God of the universe is actually speaking to you. If you connect there, it changes everything. Duty and discipline in our journey all of a sudden become delight and desire. Duty and discipline of prayer becomes delight and desire. I was in college and people would call me. This was when I was in the delight and desire, realizing God talks and it was awesome. I wanted to spend so much time talking with him that people would call me my junior and senior year and say, hey, can we go hang out? And I would say, hey, just a minute. I'll call you right back. I would hang up so I could talk to God and say, should I do that or should I just hang with you, Jesus? That's crazy. I know that's a different way of living, but that's real. Like we're talking not, this is not about religious duty or being tripped up by religion. This is about being wrapped up in relationship with Jesus, the creator of everything. And I just encourage you, invite him into your schoolwork, your study, your class, engage in class. You pray for those around you. I didn't go to U of M. I didn't take a class here. In my classes, I had opportunity to think about the people in the room and watch them and pray for them. Not just like pray when I'm on test day, right? Like bring him into your life. Talk with God throughout the day in your hobbies, your extracurricular activities, your work while driving, in the shower, while cooking, walking to class on campus, waiting to pick up the kids. Talk with God throughout the day. And I'll tell you one thing, this thing is made, it's called a phone. You know why it's called a phone? Because you make phone calls. How many of you used it for that? I looked at my last 7 days, how much time, screen time, you can look at that. 3% was talking to someone. The rest of it was just whatever, all right? My encouragement to you in this is every day, what if you just did this for a month and see how it changed your life? Useful for teaching, rebuking. The verse says that it's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Jesus, when tempted by Satan in the desert, replied by saying, man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the Father. Jesus told his disciples, I have food that you know nothing about. And John, who wrote his gospel, the book of John, he ends by saying this. He says, Jesus also did many other things. So this is after 21 chapters of Jesus's life. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. Part of the greatness of Jesus is his inexhaustibleness. He is inexhaustible. He is a well that never runs dry. He's been 2,000 years since Jesus walked on this earth in physical form, and we still are unpacking his words and learning every single day. No one has ever grasped all that he came to say. No one has fully worked out all the significance of his teaching for life and for belief, for the individual and for the world, for society and for nations. And we have the opportunity to connect with him in his scriptures if we can just grasp what's available to us. If you can grasp who is available to you. Because it's not about putting in time or doing a list or a bunch of steps. It's about spending time with Jesus, a person, a relationship. 1 John chapter 2, he says this, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey his commandments, that person is a liar and not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And this has nothing to do with salvation or like a test or to show you're saved. This is about relationship and discipleship. This is just showing you're a disciple. This is leaning into that, leaning into him, a love for Christ. What would it look like to be renewed by the Spirit through scripture and prayer in your own life? What would it look like to do that with someone else? To help each other do this. Because what we want is, we all, at every stage of life, want to be leaning into these habits of talking with God throughout the day, reading scripture, to know God more, and to obey him, taking steps of obedience. And these are, when I was out in New Hampshire, there was another huge piece to my life was diving into community. And where this pathway goes next, in the next 2 weeks, Kyle's going to be talking about living in community, living committed with one another. And an outflow of that is you get to continue to practice these things and others. And these are five friends that I have from college. We're actually, we get together every single, we try to get together every single year. We live in the state of Washington, in Maine, New Hampshire, Michigan, and Argentina. And we still get together once a year. And it's not just to get together and kick it, old times, ha-ha, fun. Like, we get together literally to do these two things. We talk to God, we pray a ton, and we read scriptures. We check in, how are we doing? Are we still running after Jesus? Where do we need refinement? How are we doing in our lives? We did this in college together, and one of the things we did is we committed to pray an hour a day together, 5 days a week, which was a bit of a journey. We would take all our candles, put them over top of each other, try to figure out where would this time fit, and we navigated. Then we said we want time in scripture together, and we could not figure it out. We couldn't figure out at night. We were all in leadership too, doing stuff in the churches and stuff. And finally, we went out to dinner one night, and the one guy here, Steve, with the ball on the bottom, he just says, 5 a.m. And we're like, 5 a.m.? He's like, yeah, what are you doing at 5 a.m.? I'm like, sleeping, Steve. He's like, I know, you got no excuse. And so we got together at 5 a.m. for 3 hours, 2 hours in the scripture and another hour of prayer. This group of five grew to like 15. More people heard about it. We started a second one in the heart of campus. It grew to 30 people. 5 a.m., 3 hours. That's what happens when we experience Jesus in the scriptures, when the Holy Spirit is bringing things to life in us. And honestly, it just starts with a step of faith, saying, you know what? I believe I can talk to you. I'm gonna start doing it more. I believe that you wrote this and you'll speak through it. I'm gonna start reading it more. And when you speak, I'm going to step out in faith and take a step to obey. You start living that way, your life is worship. It is devoted. People see it, and it will transform not only your life, but those around you. And the beauty is, this thing goes way beyond religion. It becomes such a powerful relationship that you long to spend time with Jesus. You long for it. That is my prayer for each and every one of us here, is that you would long to spend time with Jesus. This is where I'm going to end. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. There's people in this church who are going through some incredibly hard things in life. There's many who have been already through incredibly hard things. And there are many of us who are going to face impossible things in the road ahead. And that as our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day by the Spirit of God. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. The journey of following Jesus is a journey of faith. We talk to him, we read his scripture, he speaks, we can hear his voice, we can obey, and we get the joy of doing it with another, with each other. And as I said last week, when we do this, we lean into this, we live this way, we are worshiping, centering for Christ, the church is unstoppable. Because it's Jesus. My prayer is you would want to know him more and we could worship him even in this moment today. Lord, I thank you for today. We thank you for how you are at work in our midst, Lord. Thank you for such simple steps, Lord. Lord, that you even embodied yourself. God, that you came to this world, that you lived and walked amongst us in a way that you constantly stayed connected to the Father, that you showed us what it looks like to talk to the Father throughout the day. Lord, and you knew the scriptures, you leaned into them, you taught upon them, Lord, and you gave your church even more. Lord, would we spend time in your word just to get to know you? And Lord, as a result, would we hear your voice? And would we be moved by faith to follow you and obey? God, would the fruit of all this bring glory to you and allow what many call religion to be a vibrant relationship with you that others long for. Lord, that we just thank you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.